Jonathan and Jack, first I want to welcome you to our special First Friday broadcast here on The Connection. And thank you for being with us. First of all, I want to talk about the history and the background of a conference that, Jonathan, I know you've been a part of several of these. Mm-hmm. And Jack, I've been able to share it with both of you guys back at the Cove, the Billy Graham Training Center. And that is the history and the background of His Presence in Crisis and its relationship to the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
Well, the His Presence in Crisis, before it even became a conference, was actually the name that was given to a training seminar that began in the aftermath of 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Samaritan's Purse had and the BGA had made a presence in New York at 9/11, and a prayer center had been established to provide prayer and counseling and support and comfort to New Yorkers who could just walk in. And it was about, I want to say, 9 or 10 months later that Franklin Graham and I sat down to discuss what needed to be done in order to allow the BGA and Samaritan's Purse to basically pull out of New York rather than leave a permanent fixture.
Mm-hmm.
And so what was created was a training seminar which was designed basically to mobilize the church to be the church in a time of crisis. And that training seminar was given the title His Presence in Crisis.
Hmm.
And that's how that began.
And I remember the New York Billy Graham Prayer Center. I was there at Ground Zero for a few weeks just sort of helping getting that started. And as I recall, we had an influx of volunteers, but one of the things they didn't have was the equipment, emotional, spiritual, counseling equipment necessary for some of the things that they were going to face. How did you bridge that gap? How did you train somebody to be there for a week, 2, 3 weeks at a time to be able to handle those kind of situations?
Well, I think from my standpoint, that has been the challenge all the way along. We've tried to establish something that would offer meaningful training, but in a relatively brief period of time, just because people don't have the freedom to take off a week or a month or whatever to go back to school. So what we have done is established a seminar, a training seminar, that basically runs approximately 6 hours. And it is designed first and foremost to just give an overview of trauma and what actually happens, both emotionally, spiritually, relationally, when a traumatic event occurs, whether that's something of the magnitude of a 9/11 or a Hurricane Katrina, or for that matter, whether it's a school bus rollover in your neighborhood or a school shooting or something else. But basically, what we are targeting are people who are people of faith, who love the Lord, who have a desire to show compassion and empathy and sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
And so by helping them understand the reality of what happens emotionally and spiritually after a traumatic event, we then move on to what are the characteristics of a good responder. And that allows some of these folks to deselect themselves and or to say, yeah, I have those desires, I have those traits, I have those tendencies, those characteristics. And then we go into a very practical session of do's and don't's.
Mm-hmm.
What to say, what not to say, what to do, what not to do. And then at the conclusion of the day, there's an evangelistic piece that helps them to understand how to share the gospel message should the opportunity arise, recognizing that they have been offering His Presence in Crisis throughout the entire day.
Mm-hmm.
Or throughout the entire situation. And then at the conclusion of the day, we conclude the seminar with the care of the caregiver.
Mm.
If you're going to engage in this kind of work and deal with people who are in emotional pain, how do you take care of yourself? When do you say, no, that's enough, I'm done, I'm over the top, or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And then through the rapid response team, they are mobilized and deployed to these various situations as is deemed appropriate.
I remember that portion, Jonathan, at the Cove several months back. You were talking about that, and I saw that resonate so powerfully with the people in that room who had been dispatched at different levels.
Mm-hmm.
at Hurricane Katrina, and I watched what you had to share minister effectively to them, because that's something in that whole crisis they hadn't, many of them, really thought about doing and taking care of themselves. Do you notice that's a typical pattern?
Oh, very much so. Very much so. I mean, people, you know, when we look at positions, for example, ER nurses and ER physicians, those two positions in medicine have the greatest number of the greatest amount of turnover professionally. The in urban settings, ER nurses very often will rotate out of that position into other units or wards, pediatrics and so on, between 6 and 12 months, because just dealing with that kind of trauma every day just becomes totally overwhelming. Now to put somebody who hasn't been through that kind of training, who hasn't been, you know, wasn't prepared for that kind of work, into a situation and not prepare them with just, when is it okay to say enough? I can't do this anymore, or I didn't think it would be this tough. And I just remember Jack telling me a story about a gentleman who had been through military, seminary, in a variety of different circumstances, including the pastorate, who found his week at Katrina to be one of the most difficult of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think that's a very, very normal and natural response to dealing with people in pain.
Well, Jack, I want to bring you in on this. I know you've been patiently sitting there in the background listening to all this, but you've had a real passion for this for a long time. And how did you get that vision of training responders? How did you bring this into the ongoing training at the Billy Graham Center and under the umbrella of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association?
Well, I think, Skip, like Jonathan was telling us about what we experienced in New York City, we knew that God was calling us to develop a rapid response team, a ministry through the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. But one of the things that we saw in New York was really good-intended Christians that were attempting to bring God's comfort and hope to people, but out of a paradigm that they had learned, as it would look like, whether it's street ministry or Tuesday night visitation or some sort of evangelistic type training that they've had. And many times that just didn't connect to the person who is there in a state of shock, someone who's dealing with trauma. And so for us, it was such a natural bridge for Jonathan to for us to use his training not only for churches to help them respond appropriately with the gospel in times of crisis in a disaster area, but as we expanded the ministry in 2004 to include a chaplain leg to our rapid response team ministry, that those folks would also go through Jonathan's training to help them kind of get out of their paradigm, if you will, and to really look at those folks that are affected in a much different way. Obviously, we want to share God's hope with people. That's the only hope that they really have in times like this. But to do it in an appropriate way that's not offensive, and quite honestly, much of our ministry, now that we've been in the Gulf Coast since August 30th of 2005, much of our ministry is listening to people. It's coming in, and I like the verse in Matthew 9:36 in the New King James. It says that Jesus looked upon the multitudes with compassion because they were weary and scattered. And then it goes on and talks about the harvest is plentiful and the work and the laborers are few. And so I think that's a good illustration to us of our approach and utilizing the training that Jonathan offers. It's just a wonderful marriage of ministry to effectively bring God's hope in times like this.
Give our listeners an idea, Jack, of what types of crisis. You know, here you are, you got this great vision and great training to help people minister to those who are in needs, and i.e. a rapid response team being sent out. What kind of crises, what kind of situations are you going to send these people out into?
Well, in the past, we have deployed to disasters such as nightclub fires in Warwick, Rhode Island several years ago. we deployed to Grenada. Before Hurricane Ivan came and hit the southeast of the United States, it devastated 90% of the island of Grenada, and we sent chaplains down there. Of course, in that same year, we had four hurricanes that came through crisscrossed across Florida. We deployed there. We have responded to the Red Lake Indian Reservation shooting that took place, San Diego fires. We don't deploy to all disasters, and we know that there are disasters that happen every day in the news and in our communities. But normally, categorically, these would be catastrophic natural or man-made disasters that we would respond to.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned chaplains a minute ago, and I think our listeners are wondering, so is this training to train us how to be chaplains? Is that the level of person? Are these always professional chaplains that are going out and being deployed, or are there different levels of competence that you would send them to match the need?
Yes, we actually have two levels of chaplains, and then we have a third level, which we call ministry volunteers. And the type of people that would be considered a level one chaplain would be someone who has been a chaplain or in the various areas such as law enforcement, fire, military, FBI. You don't have to be an existing chaplain in those areas, those categories, to deploy with us as a chaplain. But we would give them training before they actually went out and ministered.
Mm-hmm.
The level two would be pastors, Christian counselors, hospice workers, someone who has been trained in crisis intervention.
Mm-hmm.
And level three, or the ministry volunteer, would be those believers that have a heart for the Lord and heart for people and really want to demonstrate the compassion of Christ in coming alongside of folks. And to date, we have deployed over 1,600 chaplains and ministry volunteers to the Gulf Coast, and we're still there, and we will continue to be there at least through the end of this year.
Hmm. Jonathan, I've heard you use a term. I've heard you both use the term, and I'd like you to explain the whole idea of the ministry of presence, of a person being there. What does that mean, and how does a person engage in that?
Well, I think borrowing from a favorite verse of mine in 1 Peter, chapter 3:15, verse states, "But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect."
Hmm.
And I think one of the overriding principles throughout this training is to help the learners understand how fragile some of these people are, whether that's due to physical pain and injury or whether that's strictly emotional, spiritual, and other types of suffering that are indicated by loss, by betrayal, by all the various things that enter in under those circumstances. In that situation, very often people do not respond to what is said. They respond to listening. They respond to care. They respond to their practical needs being met, for a bottle of water or a warm blanket or a place to stay, for somebody to come alongside and help them think through a problem, to find a lost child. And so very often the relationship is established through simply offering a presence, a Christ-like presence, an empathic, compassionate, and tender presence. Then, in the context of that relationship, should questions be asked, should openings be formulated, then to share one's faith in a more verbal and cognitive way makes perfect sense. But where the relationship and where the bonding occurs is in having someone come alongside who simply offers a Christ-like presence in the middle of total chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And all trauma creates chaos, whether externally, definitely internally. And to have somebody who just knows what to do, who knows what to say, who knows how to say it, who knows how to be with that person and offer that quiet, Christ-like presence can really do have a profound impact in terms of nurturing that person toward recovery.
Jonathan, are there any questions in that type of a situation? If you're the caregiver and you're ministering his presence in that crisis and you're just being there, are there ever questions not to say, things not to say, as well as the right things to say?
Oh,
tell
absolutely.
Us about those.
That is one large portion of the training seminar. I mean, things that would, for example, minimize their pain. Well, you know, you thought you had it bad. You should see the people down the street. Things like that offhandedly now may even sound ridiculous, but things like that get said. Mm. It's time to move on. Get over it. You know, why are you sitting here in tears? You aren't in any sort of shape to not help out with these folks over here. You know, things like that just minimize the pain, minimize the circumstance, clearly evidence a hardness, a lack of compassion and empathy, an insensitivity. Those are the kinds of things that definitely should not be said or done.
Mm. Boy, I would think that if you say something like that, especially if you go there as a spiritual caregiver, that's going to close those people's hearts
Absolutely.
To the gospel even more.
Absolutely.
Jack, let's just turn for a minute and talk about the training that takes place at the Cove. What kind of a person are you looking for? What are you wanting to accomplish in these seminars?
Well, at the Cove and at other locations where we do training as well, such as you know, your church in Albuquerque coming up, I quite frankly feel that there's a very broad audience that is the target audience. And the reason I say that is because there is great value in the training that anyone would receive. You know, we're talking about catastrophic disasters here, but I often say you don't have to go through a hurricane to have a storm in your life. Mm. And in the body of Christ, the believer, I believe this is a wonderful opportunity for them to receive some training to know how to appropriately share Christ and love on people that they work with every day. Mm. There are disasters that happen in our communities and in our workplaces all the time. And so for the body of Christ at large, I think this is a wonderful opportunity to improve your effectiveness in being Christ in times of crisis to coworkers. Mm. Apart from that, our audience would also include those individuals that or may already be involved in disaster response. We have had chaplains. We've had disaster response workers come to our conferences and sit through the training that Jonathan has done and tell me, I've been doing this, and I've been in this industry for 25 years. I've never heard anything like this.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
And so our audience is broad, but those folks who choose to either go back, it sparks vision for chaplain ministries and churches. It recruits individuals who say, yes, you know, this is a wonderful opportunity. If I could work alongside the Billy Graham Association and possibly become involved in your deployments as a volunteer chaplain, they like to do that. But it's really interesting that the conferences that we've had at the Cove, we've had quite a broad spectrum of individuals attend for lots of different reasons.
Mm. You know, I was privileged to be at two of them. And I got to tell you, the last time I went and I heard you, Jack, and Jonathan, especially what you were sharing those few days, I was so inspired by it because I've been to a lot of seminars and taught a lot of seminars at the Cove, but none was more powerful in terms of connecting with people who want to go out immediately and share the kind of principles that you've equipped them with. And it was just such a healing and inspiring time that I came back thinking, we got to do some of this kind of stuff here locally. And
I'm thrilled.
And we're thrilled to be a part of it. Jack, Calvary Chapel up in Philadelphia, they've sort of established a model program of training chaplains or crisis caregivers. How'd that get started?
Actually, I started in 2002, and Jonathan was up in Philadelphia and did the His Presence in Crisis training. Jonathan, do you remember that? It was over 2 days.
Well. Yes, we did, and it was one of the first times we had done it not in response to a crisis, but preemptively.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I think that was, I still remember the question and answer time at the end. One lady put up her hand and said, "Now, I know you usually do this after a crisis. Should we be expecting something?" And I said, no, we're not here prophetically. that was a very powerful time, because it really mobilized people to think preemptively. Can we be prepared for something that hasn't even happened? And then, of course, Jack, the Jerry Paradise has been involved since day one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just has really embraced the vision of this whole thing, and he's the associate pastor there.
Mm-hmm. And that really, I believe, was the kind of the birthing place for it to really launch what they have in their church today, which is an interesting model where they have now over 80 chaplains in their church and support the Philadelphia Police Department and the Philadelphia Fire Department every week.
Hmm.
And so that's something which I'm sensing God is really encouraging the various churches around the country to do. And the Philadelphia Calvary Chapel is certainly an interesting model that I always refer to, because they not only have an effective ministry in their community where they're reaching people in the name of Christ who are going through crisis, but I remember early on the deployment in Hurricane Katrina, Jerry Paradise called me and he said, "Jack, how can I help?" And I knew that my marching orders was to develop an army of chaplains for the Gulf Coast. And I said, "Jerry, would you help me identify chaplains?" And today, over 200 individuals through the Philadelphia area have now deployed with us as chaplains in the Gulf Coast.
My.
And if that could be replicated across the country, if churches across the country could get a vision of how they could engage in ministry every week in support of their community, boy, that's the church being the church for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it excites us, because anything that we can do to help with that model, with that concept, I just believe we're living in days of uncertainty unlike ever before. And it's important for the body of Christ, for the church to, I believe, be at this level of training to serve their community and minister to those in times of need.
Well, let me ask you guys a final question, because we're holding one of those seminars here in Albuquerque in early December, His Presence in Crisis. What's that going to be like? Who might be interested in that kind of training? They have a lot of people listening to this program right now, and they're thinking, should I go? Is that something for me?
Well, from my standpoint, I think this seminar has a wide and broad receptivity, I guess is the right word, in the sense that I think this is appropriate for people who know and love the Lord, who want to engage with people, who feel that they have something to offer, or would like to find out if they have something to offer to people who are struggling, people who are in pain, people who are going through difficult times in their lives. Also for people who are interested in being deployed or mobilized in times of crisis, be it locally or be it nationally and elsewhere through the BGA Rapid Response Team. It is also something that is geared to help people who have been through trauma, to understand simply what they've been through. I have had many, many people, many of whom are first responders, fire department, police department, who have come up at the end of a seminar and said, "Now I finally understand
mm-hmm.
what it is that I've been wrestling with, what it is that I've been battling with."
Mm-hmm.
So there's a self-understanding that comes from this as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then for those who are just interested in ministering in the name of Christ to people who are fragile, people who are struggling, people who are in pain. So I would say that this is geared to a very broad people, but people who like people, people who want to be utilized, and perhaps for some people who have never really found their niche in terms of how just to minister to others.
Just, Jack, tell us this because I'm interested in this. How many people have been trained at these seminars?
I would say we've had close to 4,000 people trained since 2002.
My.
And it's marvelous ministry that, as Jonathan said, and I would agree 100% with his assessment as to who this training is for. It is broad. It is important training. It's training that I think without training like this or training in the area of crisis intervention, I think it in some ways can paralyze the body of Christ because it's an area of involvement that many times we kind of go for distance of safety because we really don't understand what they're going through. We don't know what to say. And through the training, it's very practical. It has very clear do's and don'ts. But Jonathan, with all of the training that he has had, is so gifted to be able to communicate at a level that those of us who don't have a clinical background can grasp, can understand, and apply in a matter of a day and a half. And I would encourage everyone to pray about coming because it's going to be training that you'll never forget and will always be able to use.
Well, Jack Mundy and Dr. Jonathan Alford, thank you both for being on this program today, and I look forward to being with you in December.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much. We look forward to it as well.
God bless you guys.
God bless you.
Well, let's take a break and hear the details of the His Presence in Crisis Seminar coming up on the first weekend in December here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, because we want to invite our listeners to attend.